Hello, this is Times Live in the news. I'm Bulelani Nonyukela. Yaku Kleinams of the Solidarity Movement will soon, that's on Thursday, be traveling to Europe on a lobbying mission against South Africa's redress policies. We'll explore what they hope to achieve abroad and how their actions might affect South Africa's domestic and international reputation. Thank you so much, Yaku, for joining me today. You are about 10 hours behind. Are you still in Washington?
I'm at the moment in Los Angeles in California. I was last week for the week in Washington and now on the West Coast.
Okay, how's it going there?
No, it's going well. I've had a few further meetings here, you know, with American media and interesting new media institutions. So yeah, that's very interesting.
I understand you're traveling to Europe soon with a specific agenda related to South Africa's redress laws. Can you start by telling us about the purpose of this trip? And what you're hoping to achieve on the international stage?
Yes, I think from the point of Solidarity's international liaison, it has been my mission over the last few years, you know, to establish very good relations and good networks in as many countries as possible. So we have very good relations in America that is now well known, but then also in many European countries and some African countries. And the fact that South Africa is this year hosting the G20 meeting put a lot of spotlight on South Africa, and we think it is important for the Solidarity Movement to strengthen our relations in all these countries on a few issues, the things that we are concerned about. I think especially things like property rights are something that has been a major issue for us over the years, especially the Expropriation Act in 2018, first the efforts to change the constitution that failed then, but also now more recently the new Expropriation Act that was signed. So South Africa, we believe the South African economy will have a negative effect on the economy because we are so, as a country, economically dependent on foreign investments in our economy. And foreign companies don't like to invest in countries where there's not proper property rights.
Which countries are you planning to visit in Europe and who are you going with? Are you still, is this trip a part of a broader collaboration with AfriForum or is it just Solidarity alone?
Yes, I think we work within the Solidarity Movement. Organizations like Solidarity and AfriForum work together on our American liaison. We work together on the European liaison. I will do this on behalf of Solidarity. So it will have a very specific economic focus because Solidarity as a trade union are very much focused on the importance of trade, the importance of investments in South Africa, because we represent hundreds of thousands of South African workers. We are very much focused on the rights of workers in South Africa, and issues concerning workers will be our primary focus. In America, it was very much on the African Growth and Opportunities Act that is, we believe, of great importance for the South African economy. In Europe, I do liaise with the European Union on trade issues, but there's also several European countries that are concerned about the Expropriation Act. The Dutch Parliament already indicated that they are concerned about that. They've already accepted a motion in 2019 against any land expropriation in South Africa. So the Dutch government is outspoken about this issue. The same in Belgium, France, Germany, Austria, and Italy. So I will, within the next month or so, visit some of these countries to engage with their governments and to say that they must strengthen their relations with South Africa, but that they must also make use of the opportunities within the G20 summit and all the G20 meetings to put pressure on the South African government to review the whole issue of the Expropriation Act.
So what impact do you see or do you foresee if European governments or international organizations take up your cause? Could this put pressure on the South African government to revise or even halt its redress policies?
Yes, we do believe so. We do believe that on the one hand, South Africa is very much an open economy. And that's very important. I think many South Africans don't always understand how dependent we as South Africans are on international trade. We are a trading nation. Our economy is structured in a way that we are very dependent on foreign investments and foreign trade. And that the only way really to make the South African economy grow is to get more investments and more trade. You know, we can't really have much more growth only based on local spending of South African citizens. The problem is our own government can't spend more money. We have too much government debt. So we need to get out of this current rut where we have very, very low economic growth and very high unemployment. And in that sense, whatever the rest of the world do has a very strong effect on South Africa. You know, global economic policy has a very strong effect on South Africa, and we believe that therefore South Africa's the foreign policy must be more economically driven. We believe that foreign policy over the last few years were very much ideologically driven, and that has to do with the ways that South Africa worked with countries like Iran and China and Russia, and the case that South Africa had against Israel, and that were ideologically driven, but had a negative effect on our economy. We lost economic opportunities through that. So I think that is the one very important issue. The other thing is that South Africa, as a country, is still a very important international role player, and as that there's in a sense a feeling in many countries overseas that South Africa is at a crossway, you know, where South Africa need to decide where the country will go. Will the country be a truly independent nation where you work with both the global South within BRICS, but also your Western partners? And I think that's the message that we are trying to convey, that South Africa must be that kind of country that can have good relations, trade relations with the Chinese, for example, but also the West. And we hope that that will also be the message from Western countries towards South Africa within the next few months, is to say, don't burn the bridges. European and American investments and markets are very important. Maintain that, you know, while you are also a very important partner within BRICS.
And you are saying the redress policies must be economically driven. What do you mean?
Yeah, I think what is important, you know, is just what we are saying is that there's a reality in South Africa, a demographic reality in South Africa that doesn't make sense. You know, we have in South Africa now 142 laws that in some or other way propagate racial discrimination, racial classification, racial quotas in different industries. And that is very much focused on a very, very small minority. The reality is that if we want to improve the lives of the vast majority of South Africans, then you won't be able to do that to implement discriminatory terms on a very small minority. The only way at the end to improve conditions in South Africa is for real equality, you know, where opportunities are created based on people's economic position, you know, and not on race. We need to move past the idea that redress in South Africa can be implemented through racial things like racial quotas in certain industries. You know, Afrikaners, for example, is far off 5% of the South African population. You know, to think that things like affirmative action against a very small minority will really economically uplift the vast majority of poor people in South Africa just doesn't make sense. The problem with that is the problem with all these laws, also BEE, is that it's simply increase inflation, it increase input cost in the South African economy. It makes it more difficult for international companies to do business in South Africa. It makes it more expensive to them, and it leads to job losses, you know, and not job creation, simply because many entrepreneurs are not investing in the South African economy due to the overregulation of all these laws, you know. So we must open up the South African economy so that more investments are possible and more jobs are created, and And I think there's too much of a focus on a very, very small minority of South Africans who were previously advantaged.
In light of the ongoing socio-economic struggles faced by Black South Africans, how do you justify Solidarity's opposition to policies designed to redress historical imbalances? Are there alternative solutions that you are proposing that would also make the people, the Black people who have been treated unjustly in the past, to be on an equal footing with others?
Yes, we believe that the best way to redress that, and I mean, we strongly believe that it is actually an urgent crisis in South Africa, you know, to deal with the extreme levels of unemployment and poverty. It's simply unsustainable, you know. We as a country can't go on this way, you know, if we will still in 5 or 10 years have this extreme high levels of poverty and unemployment, we will probably have just more and more socioeconomic problems. So we do believe in finding solutions for that, but we believe the solutions lies in good education, good opportunities, a growing economy, more foreign investments, more businesses doing business in South Africa, more exports, access to export markets. That is how jobs are created, you know. Jobs are not created when you make it for a very small minority. And I mean, let's be honest, white people are now 7% of the South African population. That's a really small minority. If you try to make it difficult for them to get, for example, access to universities, you know, to study at a university level, like we have current policies in South Africa, the question is, do that really lead to an upliftment of the poor and unemployed Black South Africans? We don't believe so. We don't see the results from that over the last 20, 30 years. What we've seen is the creation of a Black elite that are very, very wealthy. But the reality is still that the vast majority of Black South Africans are extremely poor and in many instances also unemployed. The only way to fix that, you know, is to grow the economy. Look at the data. The last 15 years, the South African economy haven't grown. Our exports haven't grown really because we have so much problems with infrastructure, it were the electricity problems, the problems at our harbors, the problems with roads. Those are the things. If you fix those problems, then you have more job creation, you know. It's the basic things that we need to focus on in South Africa and not focusing on new discrimination against a very, very small minority.
Okay, now shifting the focus to your involvement in Trump administration in the United States, can you provide more details about your meetings there? Well, what was exactly discussed?
Yes. So we had meetings with the Trump administration at the White House and with members of the American Congress at the Senate and the House of Representatives, also at the American Department of State, which is their foreign department, and then with many think tanks and organizations in Washington that work on America's foreign policy. I think our message, in short, were in the first place that we believe that American policy and the Trump policy towards South Africa must not be structured in a way that it punishes normal South Africans. There we focus on things like humanitarian aid and trade with South Africa. For example, if America decide to kick South Africa out of something like AGOA, the trade agreement, then it will be normal South Africans, you know, working South Africans who will pay a heavy price for that. I mean, there will be hundreds of thousands of job losses due to something like that. And we believe that that's not the best way to remedy the current anger in Washington, D.C. towards South Africa. What is clear is that there are real anger at South Africa and from the Trump administration, but also in America, the Congress, and not only from Republicans, but also from many Democrats. And that is very much based on two issues. On a foreign policy basis, it's based on South Africa's case against Israel, and then ways that South Africa worked militarily with Iran, Russia, and China. So it's that's the foreign policy issue. The domestic policy issue are based on property rights, that America wants certain proof from the South African government that they will protect property rights. And the other issue is new forms of discrimination against minorities like Afrikaners. So that is what the American politicians are unhappy about. Our message to them is, well, focus then your criticism and your actions on the people who took these steps, you know, who created this environment, and don't focus any penalties on normal South Africans. You know, to take away humanitarian aid, you know, will just punish really poor South Africans who are very, very dependent on that. So that was our message. Our message was very, very clear. And then we've asked the American government to assist us as a minority community, you know, with our organizations. We've asked for financial support, you know, for the organizations that we've set up within the Solidarity Movement, because we are also an organization that finance all our projects only from membership dues. You know, we don't get any money from the government or private sector in South Africa.
Are you not concerned that maybe your advocacy could create further political or diplomatic challenges for the country, especially in terms of in terms of relations with the US and other international partners?
Yeah, I think what is important to mention is just that there's been a deterioration in the relationship between South Africa and America over the last 3 years. So I've been doing international liaison here in America now for 21 years. I know many people on Capitol Hill, and I can tell you that the relationship has been deteriorating over the last 3 years. And there's a few reasons. On the one hand, South Africa had a very weak embassy in Washington, D.C. They were for about 2 years an absent ambassador. South Africa wasn't involved in very, very important negotiations at the American Congress when there were last year an act of the American Congress that asked for the review of the relation between the two countries. South Africa didn't take part at all in that process. Then there were specific requests from the American government over the last 3 years for information on certain things that South Africa did. That there, the Americans say that they didn't get the right response. There were several delegations from the American government visiting South Africa over the last 3 years. They feel that the reception from the South African government were arrogant. It were downplaying the importance of the relationship between the two countries. One Senator, Lindsey Graham, visited South Africa last year on a mission to expand the current humanitarian aid to South Africa. And he went back to America very angry and said that he got a cold shoulder from the South African Department of Foreign Affairs. So the relationship has been deteriorating over the last few years, you know. And we had no hand in that, you know, that we were not involved in that process. You know, the reality is that there was already a year ago or 2 years ago a deteriorating relationship. The only thing that changed is the person in the White House. You know, the previous president, Joe Biden, had a very soft spot for South Africa. The new president, Donald Trump, is looking very cold and clearly at the facts, you know, at things that his staff put on his table. And I think what we are doing as the Solidarity Movement is simply to use our access to people, our relations with people in America, you know, to become involved in this process. The reality is that the South African government are struggling at the moment to send a delegation to Washington because the relationship is so weak, you know, it has been so deteriorating. And I think what we were able to do last week is to get access to the White House and to Congress and to make an important case. And we made that case not only on behalf of our members and Afrikaners, but also on behalf of all South Africans, because at the end of the day, a worsening relationship with America will lead to very negative consequences for our members at Solidarity, but for all South Africans.
And how many meetings did you have, by the way, with the administration of Trump?
Oh, we had about 6 meetings. So specifically one at the White House with people from Trump's office, from the office of the Vice President, J.D. Vance, also the National Security Council. Then we had meetings at the Senate Foreign Relations Committee with the senator, members of the House of representatives, their Foreign Relations Committee, also a high-level meeting at the Department of State, and then specific with people, policymakers, you know, people who write the current policies and people who are working on this this act that they want to make a part of the Congress, this session of the American Congress that will review the relationship between the two countries. And we've asked them there not to punish South Africa in terms of foreign of the trade agreement between the two countries.
And how was the response from your engagements?
Oh, I think it was good. What is for us positive is that there's now an open relationship between us and the Trump administration. So we have access to them. We can further engage with them over the next few weeks and months, which we believe are very, very important. I think what is also important to note is that the Trump administration over the last few weeks implemented trade sanctions against countries like China, Mexico, even Canada, but they haven't done that with South Africa. There were no economic sanctions against South Africa so far. They took away humanitarian aid from South Africa. But at the moment, as we're talking, South Africa are still exporting more than 1,000 different products to America without any import duties. And I think we play a role as Solidarity to ensure that at least over the short term, the Trump administration don't implement any economic sanctions. And we will keep on doing that. We will keep on asking the Trump administration, look at alternatives, you know, look at the possibility of taking steps against certain people that you are angry with, you know, but don't take economic sanctions against South Africa. So, yeah, I think it was positive meetings and we will follow up with that over the next few weeks.
You're saying in the next month you'll be in Europe. After Europe, where are you going?
Yes, I think what is important for us is to also focus on other African countries. The Solidarity Movement engaged in more and more, or do engage with more and more African countries. We believe it's very important, you know, as the African continent plays a more and more important role globally. There's some of the highest economic growth in the world are currently on the African continent. We also believe that Afrikaners are doing business all over Africa, and that South Africa must retain its position as the access point to the rest of Africa. You know, South Africa had that position over the last 30 years. We are worried that it's deteriorating. We see that more and more companies around the world now rather open offices in countries like Kenya and Rwanda and Uganda. But we engage with governments in countries in Eastern Africa like Kenya, Rwanda, Uganda, in Southern Africa, in Botswana, certainly. And we will expand our African engagement also over the next few months.
Okay, cool. And AfriForum and Solidarity Movement, you guys are under investigation by the Hawks with multiple dockets related to high treason. How do you respond to that?
Yes, now we find that that there's absolutely no grounds for that, you know. I mean, it was political opportunism from certain political parties and individuals, you know, who made these cases against us. Our legal teams have looked into it already in the last day or two and found that there's absolutely no grounds for that. We've been very transparent, you know. We didn't come to America in silence. We told South Africa that we visit America. We made our documents public. So every document that we gave to the Trump administration were published online so that everyone knew what we're saying to the American government. We've been very transparent, and there's absolutely no grounds for any case of treason against us. We are actually working on behalf of many South Africans indirectly, you know, to try and contribute at least in finding a way to solve this really, the really challenging position that South Africa are in at the moment in terms of the country's relationship with America.
Yaku, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to seeing how this story will unfold.
Thank you very much.
To our listeners, thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, I am Bulelani Nonyukela.